this evening to turn to the 91st Psalm, Psalm 91. Much in this psalm, certainly more than we're able to deal with in one message, but I'd like to read the entire psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver me thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They, that is, his angels, shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. In this psalm, the psalmist comes to grips with the fact that there are enemies, that there are attacks from those enemies. And he proceeds to give hope to get beyond these enemies. The tone of the psalm is about warfare, battle, conflict. It is a psalm about escape in the time of attack. It is a psalm about assurance. It is a psalm about security and peace and safety and victory in times of adversity. It is a psalm of power and strength in days of weakness. It is a psalm that has the tone of shelter and stability. Where the child of God can find shelter, where the child of God can find stability. It is a psalm about refreshment in rough times. It is a psalm about dwelling place for the child of God, a accommodation for the child of God. It's a psalm of encouragement in the midst of discouragement. It's a psalm about God's help, about God's protection. It's a psalm that ought to motivate us. It's a psalm that ought to boost the child of God, put cheer in the heart of a child of God. It is a psalm about the personableness and the closeness of God to his people. It's a psalm about the greatness of God. Psalm about the sufficiency of God in times of inadequacy. The imagery of the psalm really is much like that of the Passover night when the death angel passed through and the faithful, obedient Israelites were sheltered by the Lord. And that's what this psalm is about. It's about being sheltered by the Lord. I want to speak tonight on the subject of what will we do when trouble comes calling. What will we do when trouble comes calling? We see, first of all, this psalm reveals that there are definite times of trouble. We don't know who wrote the psalm. We don't know when this particular psalm was written. But as you read it, it's very obvious that it was written in a very troublesome time in the life of the psalmist. And there are several words that he uses throughout the psalm that would indicate that this was a time of trouble when the psalm was written. We have, first of all, in verses 1 and 2, the images of shelter, the images of a shadow. Both of those, of course, are indicative of a storm, indicative of danger. In verse 3, we see that word deliver, which always conveys the idea of rescue, release from trouble. Again, indicative of trouble and danger. We read in verse 3 also of the snare of the fowler, which speaks of traps and pitfalls, very strategically laid in our path by the enemy. We also read in verse 3 of noisome pestilence. The word noisome having reference to unpleasant and harmful. Pestilence. Pestilence having reference to epidemic disease, that which is morally corrupting, that which is spiritually corrupting. These are what the psalmist was experiencing. These are the things that the psalmist was experiencing during the time that he wrote this psalm. We read in verse 5 of the terror by night. Terror, that speaks of intimidating fear. Terror by night speaks of darkness. And then it goes on to say the arrow that flieth in the day. The arrow, of course, being a designed to cause harm, designed to cause death. And you notice there in verse 5, again, the words night and day, indicating, of course, that there is no time in any given day when the child of God is immune from danger, when the child of God is immune from trouble. There is the phrase, the pestilence, there in verse 6, again, that which is epidemic, that which is fatal, that which is morally corrupting. And we read that the pestilence that walketh or marches in darkness. The pestilence that marches in darkness. The darkness speaks of the fact that the pestilence is somewhat mysterious and that it is invisible and that it can come upon us at any time. We also read in verse 6 of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. The destruction speaks of demolition and ruin. We read in verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. So it was a time when many of God's people and many would fall. And they would fall very near. They would fall at thy side. They would fall at thy right hand. That is, what caused them to fall is also near to us. And we are also liable to fall. We see in verse 10 the word evil, which speaks of that which is wicked, that which is wrong, that which is immoral and vile and sinful. And the psalmist was surrounded by the evil. We read in verse 10 of a plague, which speaks of infestation, speaks of affliction. And then in verse 13, we read of the lion, the adder and the dragon, which speaks of a powerful, merciless enemy. That leaves the question, where will you go? Where will you go? Where will you dwell in the time of trouble? We want to consider three things tonight. Where will you go in time of trouble? Number two, what will you say in time of trouble? And number three, who will you call in time of trouble? But first of all, where should we go? Where should we flee to? Where should we dwell when trouble comes? When the circumstances of life begin to cave in all around us, and it seems like all earthly help has been exhausted, in every direction you look, there is chaos. In such a time, where will you go? Where will you go? Where will you dwell? When you're overwhelmed, when you're discouraged, when you're disheartened, where will you go? Where will you dwell? When affliction comes, when anguish comes, when the burdens begin to weigh us down, and when we're surrounded by persecution and tribulation and trouble, where will you go? Where will you dwell? Well, the psalmist tells us here in verse 1 that there is a place. Notice, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Now, a place speaks of a location. There is a location. There is a location that you and I can go to. We are told here in verse 1 that it is a secret place. That means that it is a private place. That means it is a secluded place. It is away from the trouble. It is away from the world. But it is a place. This is not something that we just imagine. This is a place. There is a place that is a secret place. And it is a place in which we can dwell. Again, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place. So there is a place. There is a secret place. And it is a place that you and I can dwell. That it is a place where we can reside. It is a place where we can be settled. It is a place where we can reside and be settled in physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. A place, we see, where one can abide. Also there in verse 1. That it is a place that we can continue in. It is a place where we can remain. That it is a place that we can dwell, that it is a place where we can abide, means that it is a safe place. There's no need to abide there if it were not a safe place. So this special place that we read of here in Psalm 91 in verse 1 is a safe place. And every child of God can flee. And every child of God can go to this safe place. There is a safe place. No matter what is happening, we, the children of God, have provided for us a safe place. Now, what is this safe place? You notice that the psalmist in verse 2 identifies this place as the Lord himself. He said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. That's that secret place. The secret place is God, our refuge. He is my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. So this secret place is the presence of God. We can dwell in the presence of God. So in the time of trouble, where are you going to go? There's only one safe place to go, and that's the Lord. He also describes the Lord as this safe place in verse 1. He is described as the Most High. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most. And I like that word most. That means exceeding all else. He is the Most High. In other words, no one is higher than our God. No one has more majesty than our God. Those two words, Most High, speaks of the overwhelming majesty of God. It speaks of the sovereign rule of God. He is further described in verse 1 as the Almighty. That means all might. That means all power. That means that God has all might. It doesn't mean He has some might. It means He has all might. It doesn't mean that He has some power. It means that He has all power. He is Almighty. So God the Most High, God the Almighty, He's our secret place. He's our refuge. The Almighty, that speaks of the infinite power of God. God is higher and God is more mighty than the snare of the fowler that we read of there in verse 3. He is more mighty and He is higher than the noisome pestilence that we read of. He is higher and more mighty than the terror by night and the arrow that flieth by day. He is mightier than the destruction or than the darkness that we read of. And the destruction that we read of, and the evil and the plague. He is higher, He is mightier than the lion, than the adder, than all, and than the dragon, than all of our enemies. This is our secret place. Of all the things that are mentioned here in Psalm 91, all the troubles, all the difficulties, all the dangers that are mentioned here in Psalm 91, the secret place, which is God Himself, is greater than all of these things. And our privilege is that we can abide. Notice again in verse 1, the secret place of the Most High, and He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where we're to go. He shall abide. He shall remain under. That is, beneath. Beneath the shadow. Beneath the shade of the Almighty. Beneath the shade of Almighty God. We can abide beneath that shade. That is, we can be immersed. We're under it. We can be submerged and engulfed by the almightiness of God. That's that secret place. But notice, it is here that we find cover. Notice verse 4. He shall cover thee. Who? The Most High, the Almighty, my God. He shall cover thee with his feathers. He shall cover thee. That speaks of protection. That speaks of a blanket. He shall cover thee. He shall put a blanket over thee. I'm telling you, this is a safe place. Flee to God. Whatever it is tonight, flee to God. Because He is the Most High. He is the Almighty. And in His almightiness, there is a shade, there is a shadow of His almightiness. And you and I can abide under that shade, that shadow. So where shall we go? We should go to God. We should flee to the Lord. God is the place where all the things that we've seen here in Psalm 91, the snare of the fowler, the noisome pestilence, the terror by night, the arrow that flieth by day, and so on. God is the place where these things cannot prevail over us. God is the place where fear is swallowed up. Notice verse 5 of Psalm 91. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Because when you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, you're safe. You're safe. You're secure. So where should we go? There's only one logical place to go. And that is the Lord. I ask you tonight, have you learned? Have you learned to find refuge in God? It's sad because I think there's some of God's people who do not know what it is to find refuge in God. Do you know what it is to flee to God? Do you know what it is to hide under His wings? Well, God doesn't have wings. God is spirit. But He uses this analogy so that you and I can understand. It's like the chicks under the wings of their mother. That's our privilege. That's our opportunity as a child of God. Have you learned to take your place? Have you learned how to hide under His wings? When the storms come, when the trouble comes, have you learned to find refuge in God? Have you learned to take your place under His wings? Have you learned how to abide in this secret place? Oh, that's where joy is found. That's where assurance is found and comfort. That's where hope is found. So where shall we go? Well, we should go to that secret place, the secret place of the Most High, and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What will we say? What will we say in the time of trouble? Again, when the circumstances of life are caving in all around us, what will we say? When it seems like all of our earthly resources have been exhausted, what will we say? When it seems like everywhere we turn, there's chaos, there's trouble, there's difficulty, what will you say? When you're overwhelmed, when you're discouraged, when you're disheartened, what will you say? When there's affliction and anguish, when there's burdens and persecutions and tribulations and troubles, When these things come upon us, what are we going to say? Well, we can complain. We can feel sorry for ourselves. But notice verse 2. I will say of the Lord. The psalmist says, here's what I'll say. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. What will you say in the time of trouble? The psalmist says, I will say, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. And as you read verse 2, do you not read that and hear a tone of confidence? I hear a tone of great assurance. This isn't the psalmist saying, I sure hope that He's my refuge. He's saying, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. And I will say this of the Lord. In a time of trouble, all that we could say where all can hear, God is my refuge. God is my fortress. He's my God. And I'm going to trust Him. That's what we ought to say when trouble comes. We ought to be able to say with great confidence, He is my refuge. That is, the Most High, the Almighty God, He is my refuge. The Most High, the Almighty God, He is my fortress. He is the place where I find shelter. He is also the place where I find supplies. A fortress is a place of protection, but it is also a place of supply. The psalmist says, with all confidence, the Lord. Notice what he says here. Verse 2, the Lord, He is. I like that. The Lord, He is. What will we say when trouble comes? We ought to be able to say with great assurance and great confidence, the Lord, He is. He still is everything that He ever was. The Lord, He is. I'm glad I know that. I'm glad I know tonight that the Lord, He is. When the fowler lays his snares in our path, with the purpose of entrapping us and entangling us, I'm glad to know the Lord, He is. In the midst of the noisome pestilence, in the terror by night, and when the arrows fly by day, and in the time of darkness and destruction and evil and plague, in the time when the lion attacks and the adder attacks and the dragon attacks, it's good to know that the Lord, He is. The Lord, He is. We need to say that. We need to say that so all can hear. When everybody else is falling apart, somebody must have enough composure to stand up and say, the Lord, He is. What will we say? What will we say in the day of trouble? He goes on and he says, the Lord, He is not just a refuge, not just a fortress. The Lord, He is my refuge. Sounds like somebody who's used them for refuge in the past. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. It doesn't do us as much good to know the Lord as a refuge, a fortress, as it is to know him as my refuge. That is, he's mine to flee to. He's my refuge. I myself can find protection in my God. He is my refuge, my fortress. And then what else should we say? My God. The Most High. He's my God. The Lord who is. He's my God. The one who is almighty. He's my God. What will we say in the time of trouble? And this leads the psalmist to say, in him will I trust. I have found that secret place in the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. It is the Lord Most High, the Lord Almighty. He, the Lord, he is. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God. Therefore, in him I'll trust. What will we say when everything seems to be falling apart? We ought to say what the psalmist said in verse 2. In him will I trust. Everyone around us might be trusting in whatever. What shall we say? In him will I trust. The whole world may fall apart. It's not going to, but the whole world may fall apart, but I'm just going to trust him anyway. My whole life may fall apart, but in him will I trust. That needs to be our resolve. Trusting God at all times. People trust today in all kinds of things. When those things are gone, they have nothing. Their life, they don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do. I mean, if you've been trusting in a job and that job's gone, what are you going to do? If you trust in the economy or your pension fund and it's all gone, everything you trusted in is no longer. But that can never be said of God, because the Lord, he is. No matter what happens, the Lord, he is. In him will I trust. Can you think of anybody better to trust than God? Do you know today how to trust God? I'm afraid there are many of God's people who do not know how to trust God. How do you trust God? You're willing to let go of everything else, and you just hold on to God. I can't think of anybody better to hold on to than the Most High, than the Almighty. So to whom shall we go? Or where shall we go? To that secret place. We should flee into the presence of God. And there we find, under the shadow of the Almighty, we find cover. We find everything we need. When everything seems to be falling apart, what shall we say? What shall we say? You know, every now and then, the ungodly, something will happen that may man can't necessarily explain. And the ungodly will say, "No, where's your God?" Same place he's always been. "Now, what do you have to say about your God?" Well, the Lord, he is. And he's my refuge. And he's my fortress. He's my God. And in him will I trust. Well, how do you explain the events that are happening? Don't you see that's part of trusting? I don't have to understand. I don't have to explain. I do need to trust him and trust that he's in control of it all. Thirdly and lastly, who will we call when the circumstances of life are caving in all around us again? Who will you call? Who are you going to call when you've used all your earthly resources? You have no earthly resources left. The problem is still there, just as big as ever. Who are you going to call? When everywhere you look, there's chaos, there's trouble, there's danger. Who are you going to call? When you're overwhelmed, who are you going to call? I'm glad that when I'm overwhelmed, there's someone I can call. Who are you going to call when you're discouraged? Who are you going to call when you're disheartened? Who are you going to call when affliction comes into your life and when anguish comes into your life? Who are you going to call? Well, I'll call mom. I'll call dad. I'll call this person. I'll call that person. What if they don't answer? What if they don't answer? What if they do answer, but don't have the answer? Who are you going to call? Who are you going to call when tribulation and troubles come? Notice verse 15. "He shall call upon me." That is the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord who is my refuge, my fortress, and my God. "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him." When faced with the snare of the fowler, call upon the Lord. When your roadway is filled with snares and traps, so much so that you're afraid to take a step, call upon the Lord. When you don't know what to do, call upon the Lord. When you know what to do, call upon the Lord. Call upon him. When facing the noisome pestilence, call upon the Lord. When experiencing the terror by night, call upon the Lord. When experiencing the arrows that fly by the day, call upon the Lord. When experiencing the darkness and the destruction and the evil and the plague and the pestilence, call upon the Lord. When you're facing the lion and the adder and the dragon, call upon the Lord. And the Lord says, "I will answer him." And then even better than that, he says, "I will be with him. I will be with him. I, the Most High, will be with him. I, the Almighty, will be with him. I, the Lord, who is, will be with him." But it's more than just, "I will be with him." It is, "I will be with him in trouble." That is, he's in the midst of the trouble. He's in the trouble before you get there. But you call upon God and you experience the presence of God in the trouble. In the very midst of the trouble, you experience the reality of the presence of God. And anytime that happens, I don't care what the trouble is, the trouble is changed. The presence of God changes trouble. It didn't say it takes it away. It changes it. It changes us. So that we can deal with the trouble. But I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. How often we're walking, we're in the trouble, and yet it doesn't appear that God's anywhere to be found. Call upon him. Call upon him. Lord, I need you. I need you right now. I need you right now. I need to know right now, Lord, that you're here. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. That doesn't necessarily mean that he will take you out of the trouble. But he'll give you the ability. He'll either take you out of the trouble, he'll cause the trouble to disappear, or he'll give you the ability to be in the trouble. Either way, it's a deliverance. I will deliver him. And honor him. Or bless him. I will bless him. So you see, our blessings. The snare of the fowler doesn't ruin our blessings. All these things that we read of here in Psalm 91, these aren't the things that keep us from being blessed. We're not blessed because we don't go to the right place. And we don't call upon the right person. The best way to know that when trouble comes, when difficulty comes, that you will flee to your refuge is you do that all the time. Even when trouble is not there. You always go to God for refuge. You find a resting place under the shadow of the Almighty, and you just love residing there. When trouble comes, you'll be there. You're already there. It's something that you always do. So we're not using God as a fire escape. But in closing, trouble will come. Difficulty, hardships, struggles. We all have them. They come into our lives every day. They're an everyday part of our lives. No one is immune from these things. And let's be honest. At times, these things can be overwhelming. They can overwhelm us. But no matter what, the Lord, He is. I'm glad to know that when I'm overwhelmed, God isn't. When I don't know what to do, God still does know what to do. He still does. When I'm weak, God isn't. The Lord, He is. He is the Most High. He is the Almighty. But notice here in verse 2 again, it says, He is my refuge. What that means is, He is. He is there for me. He's there for me. So it seems to me that that's where I ought to go. He's there for me, I ought to go to him. He's there for me, I ought to speak of him. And certainly he is the one that I ought to call upon. So I ask you tonight, do you know where to go? Do you know where to go? That may seem like very
simple question. Well, of course we do.
There are many who don't. I'm talking God's people.
Do you know
where to go? Do you know
what to say? You know, there's a few examples in the Bible, Job being one.
It's better not to say anything than to charge God foolishly. Make sure you know what to say. And the best thing to say is, the Lord, He is. The Lord, He is. And I'm going to trust Him. So do you know what to say? Do you know who to call? You know, many times, I'm afraid people call other people rather than calling the Lord. Amen. Nothing wrong with calling other people, but don't put other people in the place of God. You call on God first. You call on Him first. You never go wrong calling God first. Never. Never will that be wrong. Do we know how to dwell in His presence? Do we know what it is to dwell in His presence? Do we know how to dwell in His presence? Many don't. We constantly have the struggle. We take something to the Lord and then we go back to get it. We dwell in His presence and then we leave. Do we know how to dwell in His presence? Can we speak with confidence concerning the Lord? None of us know what's going to happen this night. None of us know what's going to happen in this life. Terrible things could happen as far as humanly speaking, terrible things could happen. When those things happen, can we say with confidence, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust Him. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God. Do you know how to call upon the Lord? Do you know how to call upon Him? You don't have to have a format. Don't have to use flowery words. Sometimes all it is help. Help. Lord, be merciful. It's all you have to plead. It's the mercy of God. Lord, be merciful. You list all the good things you've done, and then because of that, you beseech God's help. I'm sorry, I don't know that you know how to call upon God. Because it's not based on what you've done. It's based on Him. It's based on His mercy. All we ever have to plead is the mercy and grace of God. The most godly amongst us, all we can plead is the mercy and grace of God. So do you know how to call upon the Lord? These are things that we need to learn. We need to learn well. We need to learn where to go. We need to learn what to say. And we need to learn who to call. And all our life will be so much more pleasant when we know those things very well. Brother Larry, if you'd come.